Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
But before we get into the show, if you like the SDR show and you want to have amazing sex, we want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So it takes the edge off, it lowers the sensitivity, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. Just better sex guaranteed, no pesky subscription required. It's easy to use, it helps you last longer, and it gives you more confidence. What more could you ask for? So just go to promescent.com, that's promescent.com. There is not even a promo code, it don't matter. You have a 60-day money-back guarantee. You could feel confident. You can know you last longer. You want to have a little more excitement, look and feel more manly. You go to promescent.com. That's what you should do, and do it now.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show this week. Classic rock you know and you love. We're talking about Roger Earl, the drummer of Foghat, comes on the SDR show, tells some great old school story. My co-host this week is James Mattern. I love James, and I just so you know, Jay didn't quit. He'll be back soon. I don't know why every time Jay skips an episode, people think he quits. He usually does at least one episode a week, if not two. Remember, we do it live every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. This episode you're listening to right now, you could have heard 5 days ago, commercial-free, and watched in HD at gasdigitalnetwork.com. If you use the code SDR, you get a 7-day free trial, and you get about 20% off and access to every single episode we've ever done. We've got some great 70s rockers on our old school list. Kiss, Bad Company, tons of great bands have been on the SDR show. You can just peruse that list and subscribe, check it out, download all the episodes, and if you hate it, cancel. Who cares? Here it is right now, the Foghat episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me the tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
More delicious.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, down in some soda, it is James Mattern. James, thank you for being here.
Yeah, man, I'm all about this Coke Zero. It's now more delicious. I mean, I already thought it was good.
Sure, whatever bizarre chemicals that are in that thing is not affecting your body at all, sir. And then, of course, always Shannon is back with us, with a little kitty cat. And by the way, we get to say this more and more these days on the show, which really makes me happy. A goddamn legend. We don't get to say it every week, but we say it more and more. We have a goddamn legend on the show. The only original member left. 8 gold albums, 1 platinum, 1 double platinum. The original drummer, Roger Earl of Foghat. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. The good Lord hasn't seen fit to take me just yet, and I'm very grateful for that. I love my work. Actually, I don't work. I play, don't I?
Yeah. You know what I love? I watched some interviews of yours, and somebody asked you, so at this point in your life, what is left on your bucket list? And you thought about it for a minute. You're like, you know what? Nothing. I did everything I've ever wanted to do, and I love my job, which is not even a job, so there's nothing on my bucket list. That is a thing to aspire to, my friend.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, I'm one of the fortunate few in this world who's got to earn a decent living or something I love doing. You know, you have to give up some stuff. I mean, musicians... If you're going to be successful, are inherently selfish. Music comes before everything, family, life, your well-being, everything. It's like you get, it's in here, you know, and it just has to come out. I mean, I have tons of musician friends that, you know, never made it professionally, but just love to play. I'm just one of the fortunate few that got there.
And not only that, which is crazy, 50 years, other than, and I could be wrong here, but other than this year of mandatory taking time off of COVID, you never really took a year off. Am I right about that?
No, the last time I had a summer off was I was 12 years old, I think.
Wow. Crazy. 50 years in a row. That is so fucking cool. So right now, by the way, what's happening is you released a DVD / live album called 8 Days on the Road. And let's start off with where it was recorded, which is so cool. Right in the area here in the East Coast at Daryl's House Club, which is Daryl of Daryl Hall and John Oates' venue in the Hudson Valley. Do you know him? Like, is that why you chose to go there? Like, how did that come about?
No, the reason we went there is because they gave us a bunch of money. Mercenary bastards that we are. No, actually, Daryl Hall, especially Daryl, has an incredible voice, and they've made some fantastic music over the years. And his production on all their records was always incredible. What happened was we were offered the venue. We were doing a four-day run. We had a sprinter van. Normally, we fly everywhere. Anyway, we had a sprinter. And most of the dates were like within 300 or 400 miles of each other. So, and we took the date. We don't normally get a chance to play like an intimate atmosphere like that. But it was great. They, the people who worked there, they had a 5-camera shoot. The people that were recording it, they have a fantastic board, real professionals. Oh, and the food at this place is unbelievable. I try not to eat too much before I play because you don't want to get Uncle Dick. But it was a fabulous venue. And
I like the idea, by the way, of all of your live DVDs have been determined on whether or not you enjoy the food at the venue. I think that would be a way to judge.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, you know, if the food's all right, we'll be there.
And also, by the way, like what's crazy is the two of the guys in your band that are, quote, the new guys have been in the band for 20 years, which is hilarious. That they're new guys, and yet they've been in the band for 20 years. And then a couple of unique things on this live DVD is, A, going back to, I think, maybe the first or second record, you have the Chuck Berry cover in there of Maybelline, which is great. And then one of the guys who is currently in your lineup, who is from Wild Cherry, and you do play that funky music.
Yeah, well, we would at sound checks, we would play that funky music just for fun. And then I, before this 4-day run, I said, why don't we just do the song? I mean, you know, we're going to be making a CD, DVD. Just let's do it. And Charlie Hune, our lead singer and lead guitar player, said, more words. I said, oh, come on, Charlie, you can do it. And it's a fun song. And I think any wedding you've been to.
So let me say this. You would think everybody knows that song. Nice dancing, by the way. You would think everybody knows that song. But we're going to go back to when I was a strip club DJ in about 1999 or somewhere around that area, 1995 probably. I was DJing at a strip club, and they had a very strict rule. You could not play songs with curses in it. If you played a song with a curse, you got in trouble. That was just how they were. It was a very clean strip club, if that makes any sense, right? Well, and I was, I know, James, I know it's stupid.
Right. Wait, what was this, a Mormon strip club? Yeah, what are we doing, an LDS strip club?
No rap, no cursing. So I'm playing
no Wild Cherry.
No fun. And I was playing that funky music, and the manager comes in screaming at me, you can't fucking play this song. You can't play songs with curses. I said, what are you talking about? Play that fucking music? What's wrong? And I showed him the album cover. He looked at it, he goes, never mind, and walked out. And that was it.
Never mind.
Fucking idiot. Idiot. Right, I want to ask you, I want to start with a very interesting question, okay?
Yeah. Right.
Probably the most famous record, because it's the one with Slow Ride on it, would be the Fool for the City album, right? So we're going back to, 75, something like that. So, Shannon, if you could pull up the album cover, just Google Fool for the City album cover, all right? First of all, what's cool about it is I live in the East Village. I am 2 blocks from where you shot this album cover, and it's part of my tour. I take girls in New York, they've never been in New York before, I show them the Led Zeppelin building, which is a block from there, 2 blocks from there, and then I show them the Fool for the City album cover picture, right? But the thing that freaks, that I always wanted to ask, you don't get to ask your source people too often, but how the fuck did you talk the band into this? All right, guys, here's my idea. It's gonna be just me on an album cover. Fuck everyone else. I want to focus on me. How the fuck did that happen?
Me, myself, and my own. Yeah, me. Actually, it was our producer and bass player, Nick Jameson, who came up with the idea because I love to fish. I fish, therefore I am. and when we were recording the record, Fool for the City, we were on a mountaintop up in Maine or Vermont, somewhere up there in Sharon, Vermont. That was it, in the middle of nowhere. So when it came down to doing the album cover, Nick Jameson, our bass player and producer, said, well, why don't you just, you know, like picture Roger being a fool for the city. And anyway, we did that. We go in, it was early one Sunday morning, hadn't had much sleep, it was typical back then. And we pull the manhole cover up, and then along comes a couple of New York's finest in their cruiser. And they wipe down their window, and we go, oh, shit, what's going to happen now? And they go, hey, you got a fishing license? They get out there cruising, and they say, what are you guys doing? And then we explain, you know, we're taking a picture for an album cover. They took some pictures, carting me away and handcuffing me. New York cops are great. They're worried about murder, mayhem and stuff like that. You know, people lifting up manhole covers.
I'd be also scared if you actually did catch something. That would be even scarier.
Cockroaches.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Oh, my God.
That's 6 inches long. Oh, it was horrible.
So the band didn't care that on your most popular album cover of all time, it is just you.
No, nobody objected. In fact, it was their idea, not mine. So
that's crazy.
Not really. No, we were always a band. When the four of you take the stage, it was never like about just one person in the band. It was always a band. You know, when the four of you get on stage, it's all about the music. It still is today. We're a band of brothers. It's about the music. That's why I still do it.
And so that on that record obviously had the probably one of the, if not the most popular song of all time for Foghat, Slow Ride, which was rated, I think, in the top 50 best hard rock songs of all time. But the crazy thing about that song is it keeps popping up in pop culture references, be it Dexter, Dazed and Confused, Family Guy, Seinfeld. It always appears. When those things happen, do they need to be cleared by you? Do you find out after the fact? How does that come about?
No, that's fine. I mean, you can't pay for that kind of publicity. I remember when it was Guitar Hero. They put the song on there. It actually wasn't our performance, but a couple of other bands had their songs on the first Guitar Hero, and they started complaining about it. I'm going, why would you complain? We've got a whole new audience, kids. We had 6, 7, 8-year-olds coming and going, whoa, Foghat, yes, all right. It was like, that's cool. And, you know, the thing is, I think that's one of the reasons we've had such longevity, because it's only rock and roll, but I like it. it transcends, I think, generations. You know, we get, actually, my generation don't turn up anymore. They're at home, you know, sucking on something or taking their aspirin. we get a lot of younger people coming to see us, which is refreshing, because you know they're excited about it. Life is good.
One of the band, you can't say this about every band, it's one of the bands where maybe it's because you have such a cool logo. I don't know who made the logo, but Kagudo's on the logo, but somehow it stayed to be a cool band name, you know, a cool band to like, oh, Foghat. Like, I don't even, by the way, I don't even know where the fuck did the name come from? I never even heard the answer to that. Where does that from?
It came from our original lead singer, Lonesome Dave, was playing a Scrabble game when he was like 12 or 13 with his brother, John. And Dave made up the name Foghat. And his brother said, that's not a name. And Dave
said, a Scrabble word? And he put it down as a Scrabble word?
And eventually it became one. So, you know, sibling rivalry as it is. when we finished the album, our first album, which Dave Edmonds produced, and three of us were going into London to sort of look at the artwork, and we still hadn't decided on a name for the band. Then we're walking up the stairs to look at the artwork, and we said, well, what are we going to call ourselves? Dave said, Foghat, and we said, okay.
That's so great. And now whenever he played his brother, back in the day when he was still with us, they couldn't challenge the word anymore, because now it's a real word.
That's right. It's a real word. What does it mean? It means us. Other people thought it meant something else.
Of course. That's what I thought it meant always.
It's such a great name because it works for anything. You could have been any band with that name. It works for being a rock band. You could be a heavier metal band. You could be a punk band. And you could
be, I don't think you could be a hip-hop group. Could you be a hip-hop group with Fog Hat? I don't know if you could.
Yeah, you could.
Yo, we Fog Hat.
We Fog Hat all day,
it's
brother.
Done. It's done.
I don't think we're really noted for being great poets, which, more like rock and roll songs, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. I mean, all the songs about doing it. I've just done it. I'm thinking about doing it again. I'd like to do it one more time with you, please, dear.
At least you threw in the please.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, so now let's go back to young Roger Earl. 12 years old, first time you picked up a drum kit. 15, I believe, is when you your dad got you your own kit. I could be wrong on the timing, but your dad was a piano player and singer. Was he your original inspiration? I heard that story about when he brought home the Jerry Lee Lewis record, but you had to want to emulate your dad, I guess, right? Is that how it started or no?
There was always music in our house. I had some, both my parents were cool. You know, we lived in Southwest London. You know, dad worked 7 days a week. He was a panel fitter at Aston Martin's in the 50s. Oh. And he played piano. Mum used to sing as well. There was always music in the house. Radio was always on. Big band music played. Dad brought home a Jerry Lee Lewis record. I remember the B-side, which was Mean Woman Blues. And dad came from the East End of London. He said, yeah, have a listen to this boy, son. He can really play the Joanna, which is a term for piano. And about 2 or 3 months later, Jerry Lee came over to England. Yeah, I was 12 years old. And dad took me and some friends, my best friend Dave, who's a bass player, to see him, and I was never the same. In fact, my mother said, it addled his brain. He was never the same after that.
That's great.
I love my mum.
So now, the interesting thing is, back then, one of your first bands was called The Tramps.
That's
and
right.
Not to be confused with the disco group, The Tramps. That's a very different thing. And
actually,
many
great disco group. They were one of the best, I think. Came from Philly as well.
They were a great band. But in that band, which is funny, with the, I believe, is the singer of Mungo Jerry, who had that song In the Summertime.
That's right. Ray, myself, and the two guitar players in that band went to the same school. And then I joined Savoy Brown when I was 20. Mm-hmm. And Ray Dorsett, the lead singer, formed Mungo Jerry with my older brother, Colin, on piano. So, so I guess mum and dad were pretty pleased, actually.
Wait, your brother was in Mungo Jerry?
Yeah, he was the piano player.
Wow, that's pretty wild. Talk about a highly talented sibling. That's pretty cool.
No, it's more by luck than design.
So now, the fascinating thing I heard, so you were in Savoy Brown. I think it's three of you that left to start Fog Hat. But in Savoy Brown, which is a hilarious story, that you were in the band and every week you're saying to the manager, I haven't got paid yet. And he's like, what? You didn't get paid yet? And then you wouldn't get paid.
Yeah. I was a commercial artist at the time. That's how I earned my living. You know, that's how you pay for drums and cymbals. They're expensive. Anyway, I did the first audition. I didn't get it. Then they called me back about a month later. We had the same agency as Savoy Brown, the band I was in. So I go back again for a second audition. I borrow dad's car, take the drums up to wherever we're playing, the Nag's Head in Southwest London. And it was like a midday thing. And we were there for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, going all through these songs. And then I start packing up the drums and they said, where are you going? I said, well, I've got to go back to work. I've got a day job. They said, no, we're playing in Birmingham tonight. So that was it.
You had no time to rehearse anything? They just said, you're good enough.
It was, you know, three chords. They weren't sort of, there was a lot of jamming going on back then.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then this story is fascinating. At some point, I believe it's before Foghat, but during Savoy Brown, you actually auditioned for a band, and it turned out to be with Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, I auditioned for the job. I didn't get it, obviously, but I did get a chance to play with Jimi Hendrix, who is probably one of the sort of most unique guitar players that has ever sort of graced this earth. He changed the world as far as playing guitar. I mean, I remember reading about it at the time, you know, Pete Townsend, Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton were all talking about this guy. And it was true. He was special. He was a beautiful man. I met him a couple of times afterwards and jammed with him. But I think I came in sixth or so. I didn't really have a clue.
He started, you know, it's funny. You downgraded yourself, by the way, because I watched an interview and you said, I came in fifth. You just dropped yourself a rung to sixth.
It was probably seventh, actually.
But they were ranking the auditions?
No, he just think he
this
he
was like goddamn American Idol back then. What the hell's going on?
Imagine that, James. By the way, yes, Roger, we looked it up, and you came in sixth. I'm like, why would you have to tell me? Just tell me you didn't get the job.
Next year, you might get a bronze. Come back next year, you can medal.
So now, what was the catalyst, if you will, for the three of you to say, okay, we're going to start our own band. Screw this. We're going out on our own.
I'm still good friends with Kim Simmons, the guitar player, leader of Savoy Brown.
Yeah, because they still will go on do dates with you guys from here and there anyway. So, yeah, you're still friends with them, but still, that's a big move.
Yeah, no, he played on our last studio album.
But not only am I leaving, I'm taking half the band with me. You know, like, that had to be weird.
Well, this is back in 1970. The band is getting between $10,000 and $15,000 a night. That's a lot of money back then. Mm-hmm. We're getting $100 a week, wife and kids to keep. And it was just time for a move. They fired the bass player, Tony Stevens. He got fired. Lonesome Dave and I decided to leave. The sad part about it was the manager, real scumbag, by the way, We had a meeting in the evening. It was out in San Francisco. And the next morning, we met with Harry, the manager. And we said, look, we'll leave. But, you know, we'll stay for as long as, you know, you want us to until Kim, like, puts a new band together, which didn't take him long. Mm-hmm. And Harry, the manager, said, you'll never work in the States again and you'll never work in England again.
Wow.
Right. I mean, why do something like that?
Yeah, it's malicious.
And to his credit, that's what he did. The agency at the time was called Chrysalis Agency, Terry Ellis and Chris Wright. And I went to see them and they said, look, we can't book you because Harry said he would take Chicken Shack and Savoy Brown away from us. And they were two of the like biggest bands in England mm-hmm. at the time. So it worked out okay. Kim and I remained good friends over the years. We were successful. Kim was very successful. Harry is no longer with us.
Right. And am I right that every major label turned you guys down originally, though, correct?
I'm saying that again, sorry.
When Foghat first started, every major label turned you down initially.
Oh, yeah. They all said, no, 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 no. Actually, we made a six-song demo at Abbey Road Studios. We had some money left over from touring, and they were okay. Most of the songs made it onto the record, but not in that form. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was because of Albert Grossman, the manager of the band, Janis Joplin, Peter, Paul and Mary, Bob Dylan.
Hacks, all of them hacks.
What did they ever do?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about Bob Dylan. There's a poet for you. It was pretty interesting. We rented a room in Northwest London and Albert Grossman came over. He was coming over with the band and Todd Rundgren was with him as well.
Cool.
And we rented this room, this little club, smelly little bar. Nobody was there. It was like a lunchtime thing. And we set up and Albert was sitting about 10, 12 feet from the stage and we cranked up the Marshalls or High Watts and like he visibly went, whoa. We played about five or six songs and then I loved Albert Grossman was a beautiful, really cool dude. And he used to do this. He'd like, go like this. And he'd said, well, hey, is there somewhere we can get some tea and biscuits? And I said, I was familiar with the area because it was where my football team plays. And there was a hotel across the road. We go over there and we sit around the table, you know, pretty anxious.
By the way, I just want to say that that's possibly the most...
Tea and biscuits and, like, you know, we're pouring tea and having biscuits. And then Albert says, well, okay, let's do it.
It's possibly the most English way to get signed ever.
I still get chills.
That's really awesome. It's just funny. It's such an English thing to say. Can we get some tea and biscuits? Like, all right, we get it. You're from England. Cool.
And I wasn't sure if you actually meant tea and biscuits or if that was some more Cockney sexual slang. I was trying to be like, what does biscuits rhyme with? What's going on here, man? Is that some kind of drug shit? I don't know.
No. I don't drink as much as I ought to. No singing. Sorry about that.
All right, before we go any further, these guys have been a sponsor for quite some time now, and they are for you auto mechanics or you do-it-yourself guys or guys who just like to work on their own cars. Basically the opposite of me. I'm not a cool guy like that. We're talking about Rock Auto, rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts, and good news, they've been around 20 years. They're not some fly-by-night company. RockAuto.com has been doing it at the best possible prices since I was in my 30s. No more talking to the counter guys who need to order parts for you, aren't really sure what you need, never quite know exactly what you're talking about, and then charge you storefront markups. Just go to RockAuto.com, and you can easily find everything you're looking for, whether you're a mechanic, a worker at an auto shop, or just own your own car and like to work on it. Incredible prices can be found at rockauto.com. That's rockauto.com. No promo code needed. That's how sure they are that their prices are fantastic. But when you place an order, make sure you tell them at rockauto.com that you heard about them from the SDR show. So thank you, Rock Auto. And remember to always support the sponsors that support the show. And let's get back into it. So now also, by the way, at some point you made the change as an Englishman to Long Island.
Yeah.
That's got to be strange. Do you feel more connected to Long Island now than you do England? Do you feel more like an American? Like, where's your head?
This is the home of music. This is the land of music. Every form of contemporary music today is inspired from this country. Country and Western, rock and roll, blues, jazz, gospel. This is the land of music. And even to this day, you know, rappers and R&B artists influence everybody across the world. You know, Japanese rappers, Afghani rappers, French rappers, English rappers.
Yeah, apparently, by the way, just so you know, James told me Jay-Z is one of the elite eight people that rule the world.
Yeah, he's Illuminati. I don't know if you know that. That's what that shit is that he does, man. He came up with COVID, all that shit. It's Jay-Z. And Beyonce's actually fighting for us. That's why sometimes, you know, you don't see them together. It's an actual, like, a struggle. But
so you felt the connection to Long Island very early on, I guess.
Actually, our manager lived out here. And I met him on one of our tours with Savoy Brown. And I like to fish. And he said, well, come to Long Island and catch bluefish and striped bass. And I said, okay. And I went to stay at his parents' house. Really cool people. And, you know, it's a big sandbar. I got off the boat and landed on Long Island, and I like it here. Hey, how you doing?
This is great.
The English Brooklyn accent. I dig it. And then I saw a thing which I really, because I used to work at this place, but many years after you were there, someone asked you your most memorable moment in your musical career, and you picked 1977, playing the Palladium in New York City as the house band with Muddy Waters, John Lee Hooker, and all these other, like, legends on stage, and you're the house band for the night.
As good as it gets.
Yeah, it was, well, back in 77, like, we, the band was doing great. We were very successful. Myself and Dave and Rob Price particularly were, like, huge blues fans. I mean, you know, without, you know, people like Chuck Berry, Muddy Waters, Willie Dixon, there would be no rock and roll without people like that. And they were our influences. That's what we grew up with. And to sort of play with Muddy, who was a beautiful man, and John Lee Hooker, Paul Butterfield, Eddie Blues Man Kirkland. It was pretty heady stuff. It was also my father's 60th birthday. So I flew mum and dad over and then, you know, gave them a hotel in Park Lane and they were having a really good time. And they came to the show. So they knew who Muddy Waters was because, you know, I collected all his records and John Lee Hooker. And I introduced them to like Muddy Waters. Say, yeah, Muddy, Mr. Waters, this is my mum and dad, Muddy Waters. And there's their youngest sort of hanging out with one of his musical heroes. Yeah, it was.
That's great.
It was a highlight in my life.
What was the event? What was the actual event? Like, why was that happening? Was that an honorary blues night? Like, what was actually happening?
It was just a tribute to the blues. It was recorded and filmed. Warner Brothers have all the film. I have most of the stuff on CD now. Our front of house engineer at the time recorded it. But Warner Brothers, in their infinite wisdom, have put it down in their vault somewhere. There was over 4 hours of music and recording of all these artists and what was that? The New York Public Library. That's what it was for. And it's, you know, it was like to record, you know, these great blues artists, American blues artists, and any excuse for us to be associated with greatness like that.
That's so cool. That's amazing. Cool. To touch on a little bit of a sensitive topic, in the 90s, you at one point, there were two touring Foghats, and there were some lawsuits back and forth. Unfortunately, Lonesome Dave passed away, I think like 20 years ago. But did you guys ever break bread and become friends again, or what ended up happening at the end of that?
Well, what happened was 1984 was the last end of 1984, Dave decided to move back to England. Actually, he didn't tell me. We came off a tour like in November of 84, something like that. And I get home and my wife says, you know, Dave's moving to England. And I said, no.
They said, that's crazy.
They're sending all their furniture back on a slow boat. And about a week later, Dave, we had a meeting and he said, oh, I'm going to England. And he moved to England. So I was left with, there was three quarters of the band Foghat. I joined a band called the New England Jam Band, a bunch of great players up from Boston, John Butcher, Charlie Farron, stuff like that. I played with them for a while. And then the three of us that were left from Foghat, myself, Craig McGregor, the bass player, and Eric Cartwright, I put a band together called the Knee Tremblers, which is an English term for copulating in the upright position.
Hey, at least you're staying consistent, my friend.
And we were playing a bunch of Foghat tunes. We had a new singer, and they kept advertising us as Foghat, so I carried on. Dave came back about 4 or 5 years later because he couldn't get arrested in England, and he formed a band. Yeah, we arm wrestled around America for a while. Then eventually we got back together. In fact, our last tour together was really good. We were always friends anyway. Dave just didn't talk about what he wanted to do. He was very quiet. He was kind of the heart and soul of this band as far as the musical direction. He knew everything about who played on what song. He was actually a closet drummer. He knew all the drummers that played on every R&B and blues and rock.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It was cool. So, you know, sometimes I would see him and he'd have his headphones on. He'd be going. Closet drummers.
That's cool. It's good to know that.
I bang.
And you bang physically as well, based on all the songs. So now also, by the way, you at one point are also expanding the Foghat empire to where you are not only putting out records, which kudos for putting out records like every couple of years, a new Foghat record, which is phenomenally, just great to the fans. But there is a couple of years ago, which is hilarious, the Slow Ride Foghat Condoms. Very funny. Love the idea. And then now you have the Foghat Cellar Wines. My only complaint is, how do you not take one of the oldest vintages and call it slow wine? Slow wine.
Slow wine.
It takes us a long time to make our wine. It's slow wine.
It's unbelievable. Ralph loves the brand everyone's side stuff. It's unbelievable.
And by the way, sorry, one other thing. Goes down easy. Goes down easy. Slow wine. Goes down easy.
No, I don't want to do that. That was a song.
No, don't take my idea. It's awful. I'm telling you, it's awful. I just...
wine's always been, I think I said, a beverage of choice. I mean, it's a health drink. Let's face it, red wine, right? Depends on how much you drink, though, yeah. I think. No.
Never enough.
We played out on the West Coast, the Central California Fair. We did two sold-out shows there. And a guy called Steve Rasmussen, who's a winemaker out there, came to see us. He was a Folkout fan. And then he sent an email to our manager, my girlfriend and wife.
Girlfriend and wife.
Yeah.
She's pulling double duty. Good for
her. Sometimes you got to wear multiple hats.
Triple. Yeah. She saved me from myself. He came and he said, you know, Folkout is a great sound for, you know, Folkout sellers, Folkout wine. So we met each other. We had a, and he took us around to all the vineyards in Central Coast of California. And I loved the people who grew the grapes and made the wine. These people are like friendly, always food on the table and a glass
of wine. Because they're always drunk, that's why.
Well, you have to drink. Well, you get used to it after a while. You put up a, you know. what I liked about it was they talk about when the wine's doing really well, the grapes and what grapes are doing well, or if there's any kind of blight. They share the knowledge, and I found that really refreshing as far as, you know, a business goes. And I like to drink wine, so we've had a number of different wines. We only have two wines at the moment. All our cab is gone. We have a 2013 Pinot Noir from Monterey County, and we have a 2014 Chardonnay from Monterey as well. That's it.
I give you credit, though, because I also read that you never played drunk in your life. You always play sober, never once drunk.
I played with a couple of hangovers. That's no fun at all. That's a thing we have with the band. I probably smoked some dope in my early days, like, and, you know, played that when we were in a blues band. But I enjoy keeping it. Music is enough. You know, and also people pay decent money to come and see us, and they get up there stumbling around and doing some half-assed thing. That's not us. It's not this band, and I never wanted to be like that. Though I have had my fair share of good times.
I'm sure. I am sure of that. All right, before we do anything else, we want to talk to you about one of our favorite sponsors, who they've been around for quite some time. It is Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. If you're over 21 and you love your Kratom, we got a great deal for you. It is YoKratom.com. It's just $60 for a kilo. Sometimes you might pay $120, $180. That stuff's been hanging out in the gas station for years. You don't know the quality. You don't know what strain. You want good quality Kratom? Go to YoKratom.com. They are the wholesalers, and they go those wholesale prices directly to you. I know, and I've said it a million times, Shannon loves a couple of specific strains that are exclusive to YoKratom.com, and we love these guys because they support our style of comedy. They support Gas Digital, so why not turn around and support them? It is YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. They have the best prices in the business. Stop overpaying or having to go to the gas station or the corner store. It's time for great quality Kratom to come directly to you. Only at YoKratom.com. It's home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it.
Yes.
James, you said it looks like you have a question, James. I apologize.
I just love everything we were just talking. I love that you have wine and condoms. Here's my question, though, if we can go back for a second. Did the condom company, were they as were they like the wine company? Were they be able to describe, like, this kind of rubber right here is really good this season?
If you're Jewish, you want to use this condom.
Yeah.
Actually,
what if they combined? What if they made wine condoms? Fuck yeah. 2021, dog. Innovative.
I, actually, the truth is I've never used one because You know, I'm a one woman guy. So
you got the wife girlfriend. Yeah.
You know, we've been trying to have children for what, 20 odd years, but it's not working.
So actually, it's nice to know you have first-hand experience with the wine, but you don't have first-hand experience with the condoms, is what you're telling me.
No. The wine, no. The condoms, I carry them with me just to show people. Say, look, would you like one of these? You know, safe sex and all that stuff. Mm. But,
What if my sexual antics are nothing to do with slow ride or taking it easy? It's more like fast and over with quick. Do you have a special condom for me?
Well, I guess it depends on the moment. You know, there's something to be said for quickies. There's something to be said for taking your time. You know, the thing is, you're never really unhappy, are you, if you're, like, with the one you love or one you love for that moment. And, like, you're not going to be unhappy. So I think that's what helps make the world go round. And, like... sometimes.
But this coming from a man also who has no bucket list because you've achieved all your life goals. I get it. You're happy, for God's sake. So now, another side project of yours is Earl and the Agitators. I don't know if that's still going on, but you had Scott Holt from the Buddy Guy Band in there as well. Are you still doing that?
We played some shows, but one of the problems is, you know, it's expensive to travel. Airfares are doubled now.
Now, for sure, yeah.
It's scary. Trying to rent a van out there, you know, because we just finished our third show, you know, since the COVID nightmare, and like rent a vans are like doubled. It's horrendous, the cost. So yeah, the Agitators can't really afford to go out, though. We are starting a new album, a new studio album. We have a studio down in Deland, Florida.
For Foghat or for the Agitators?
Both. Okay. Anybody. Anybody who wants to play in the band. Scott will probably write some songs and probably sing on something. I like having a bunch of guests. You know, when you have a band like Foghat, you can include, especially somebody like Scott, who's a great guitar player. I mean, played second guitar to Buddy Guy. You know he can play. And he's a great singer. Like, one of the coolest people I know. Kim Simmons is going to... He said he's written a song for Foghat, so he'll come and play on the next album. I was talking to Brian Bassett, our lead and slide guitar player who produces everything, the other day, and I said, maybe we should put some horns on this record. And he said, I know a horn section. And I said, you know, horns are a lot of fun, you know, you know, that punchy stuff.
Well, why don't you just do that? Record that. You don't even need horn players.
Well, we will. We'll do it all. We need a piano player, though.
Oh, okay. No worries. So now, one of the other things I said, let me ask you this, by the way, because you just maybe touched on it. You've worked with so many different guest artists and different people playing on records and you playing records and, you know, live playing with others. Is there anybody you never got to play with that you wish you could play with?
I've always been a Stones fan. I always thought the Stones were really cool. I used to go and see them when I was growing up in London. I used to see them on the All Pie Island, the Ricky Tick and the Marquee. Never played with the Stones, but there again, I think it might have been a bit rough opening up for the Stones because nobody goes to see the Stones and like wants to see the opening act. I mean, I think I remember when Prince opened up for him, it was like, I think he got booed. It's like, but you know, I like the Stones. I like the way they play. You
is
know?
It fair to say that maybe we added something for your bucket list right there? Is that possible?
Okay, actually, I remember one time I was at Il Pie Island, which is in part of London on the River Thames, and that's where I used to go and see this. It was my favorite place to see the Stones. And my one run-in with fame was Mick bumped into me and spilt his beer on me. He said, sorry, mate.
That's pretty good. Better than most people, I'll tell you that. And then also what I liked is when the guy asked you about your bucket list and you said, well, my two ex-wives already forgave me, so that was a big part of it. What did you do that needed forgiving or you did not want to talk about it?
I was probably a better boyfriend than a husband. I was never home. You know, like I said earlier, you know, musicians are a selfish bunch. It's all about the music. Everything else like, takes a second place. Though I do have... three wonderful daughters who I love dearly, and the ex-wives have forgiven me. And I have an extended family now, so life is good. Life is
that's
good.
Great. I'd love to see that. I don't want to say your age, but I think you're around 70. Am I right?
75.
God damn it, you look great. You look happy. That's awesome.
Look at those.
So his guns are better than my guns. It hurts me. It hurts me.
I should have did more work at the gym today. Holy shit, man! I didn't know this was going to happen.
We love for the last 50 years. We'd probably feel him better like he does.
I think I probably have to thank my genes from my parents or something like that. But you know, one of the things about playing drums, there's a mechanics to it. You know, you have to be. There's a physical side to playing drums. You know, right. I mean, I practice, you know, I sit down on the pads and play regularly and my pedals and stuff. But you have to, you know, if you want to play really well, you have to be on top of your game. You can't be, and that's, it's a joyful thing to bang stuff and crash things and kick things. And it's like, it's a great job. And, I love it, and I'm going to keep doing it until the day I depart this earth, and probably still be doing it. I know.
And maybe a few months after.
actually, on my tombstone, I think we said he banged his way through life.
It's a perfect segue, Shannon. Let's hit the first right now.
Beautiful.
The first time ever I saw Concert Detroit.
The name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. We always want to ask our guests their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll and ask you the first concert you went to on your own because you wanted to go see them.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
That was it. Wow.
My father took me when I was 12, and then he came over a second later after that. Jerry Lee Lewis was the first one I went to see. Then, of course, I saw all the, you know, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, whenever they came to England.
Wow.
You know, that was... I saw Ray Charles as well when I was... was I 16, I think, 17? He played in London. That was a wow moment. That was really...
That's great. I mean, that's amazing.
And what a band as well. I mean, I'd never heard anything like it. It was... Who was I with? A friend of mine. What was his name? Austin. Wow, I just remembered that. It was incredible. That's
awesome.
Sometimes, you know, there's so many things that you've done. Ray Charles, that was a moment. And also, it was called the American Blues Review. This was the first time I think Muddy Waters and came over to England, and they played at the Royal Albert Hall or the Croydon Hall. And that was some magic as well.
That's amazing. Muddy
came over and, like, you know, he's pretty much ignored over here in the States. And, like, he was treated like a king in England. And everybody was, like, rolling out the red carpet for him. And which was cool.
That's great. Really. So now, the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't the first drug you ever did?
Hashish.
Hashish, which is one you don't really hear. How old were you? Where was it?
Up until I joined Savoy Brown, I was drug free, maybe had an occasional beer and a few things like that. But then we're in Savoy Brown and hashish, you put it in like a roll of cigarettes with tobacco and stuff. That was the only downside of it, because then you started smoking cigarettes. But hashish, yeah. That'll whack you.
And then I heard a story where you were, I don't know if you did this or not, but Zeppelin's manager, very famous guy, Peter Graham, and Bob Dylan at some party doing Quaaludes.
Yeah, Peter Grant was, he was interesting. Big man, about 6'6". He was a professional wrestler, but he had this really high voice.
Hello, my name's Peter Grant.
And, we were at a hotel in Park Lane in New York, and he was crushing up Quaaludes and going around and offering them to people. And if they snorted the Quaaludes, he'd give them some cocaine or something. So I didn't want to have anything to do with that. But he went over to, and the story goes, he goes over to Bob Dylan and said,
"Oh, I'm the manager of Led Zeppelin."
And Bob replies, "Don't tell me your troubles. I got troubles of my own."
That's great. That's awesome. That's so cool. All right. And now, the first time you had sex.
I just left home, and some older woman took pity on me, and I was living on the streets for about a week, and said, come and stay with me.
How old were you?
15.
Wow. And some girl saw you living on the streets and said, come in here, I'm going to give you a place to stay and make you a man?
She was older. She was probably only like 25 or 30, but that was, it was scary as well. I was terrified.
Wow. That's a hell of a story.
Actually, I've never told that story to anybody, so it's a first.
That's
breaking
crazy.
Breaking news, baby.
I mean, you got a place to stay, and you got your motivation for half the Foghat songs after that. That's pretty cool.
No, it was scary. It was terrifying.
That's pretty wild. And then
I
now,
got better at it.
And then the last question, then we'll do the plugs, is we ask this to every rock star. Do you remember the first time you had sex because you were you? You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, this is Roger Earl from Foghat. I want to have sex with that guy. Where you had nothing to, there was no charming the lady involved. It's just like, oh, like a real groupie first time you had sex experience.
I don't know about the word groupies. I call them road angels.
Road angels, sure.
Road angels is amazing.
No, there were some ladies out there that were music fans, I guess. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, cool. No, we'll end it in there.
I like women. I've always liked women. I think
shocking.
No, I like hanging out with them. I like talking to women. Guys are all right. You know, going fishing and stuff. But I like hanging out with women. Women are fun.
All right, fair enough. You're celebrating 50 years of Foghat. The new live DVD, 8 Days on the Road, is out.
Hold on, I've got a picture of it here. Cool. My manager said, look at that. That's a signed one as well.
Oh, nice. Look at that. That's great. Awesome.
Look, but hold on a second. It's like, somebody's taken them out, Linda. It's two CDs, a DVD. Actually, I probably took them out. I was listening to it the other day, trying to remember what I did with the song. How does that part go? I don't know. But I'm really pleased with it. It sounds great. The people at Daryl's House Club were fantastic.
Great. And you could add Foghat on Instagram at Foghat_official. You're recording new music for 2022. You're still doing about 70 dates a year as Foghat, which is goddamn impressive. And, dude, thank you so much. We're going to go around the room real quick and do plugs. Is there anything else they didn't plug before we go around the room?
Let me ask my girlfriend. Is there anything I need to say? My girlfriend says no. What about the wife? What does she have to say?
Great.
What about the manager?
All right, James, you want to do your plugs?
Yeah, man. The James Mattern on Instagram, Commissioner Comedy Podcast. I talk about comedy. It's cool. And look for this fall, my new record and special coming out, Check Spot, me doing stand-up, answering questions from a drunk audience while they pay their bills because I'm crazy. And, man, I'm so pumped up. I'm going to go back out tonight and listen to nothing but Foghat and old blues. I can't. Yeah. I'm going to throw some Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters in between Foghat. Yeah.
And by the way, great. Roger, I just want to make love to you. That cover was a staple at the strip club that I used to work at. I would play it every single night. Shannon, your plugs.
Yeah, no curses.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
All right, and we always do this at the end. We try and guess if our guest believes in ghosts. I'm going to say yes. James, what do you say? We all say yes. Roger, do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in the supernatural, yes, of course. There's a bunch of stuff out there that you don't even know about. Hey, we only started flying 100 years ago. You know, there's a bunch of stuff out there. And I believe in spirits and stuff and all the good stuff. There's
awesome.
You know, I mean, I really think I'm not particularly interested in organized religion, but I believe that we have a spirit. We have a soul. I believe that we have an energy that when we do depart, it goes somewhere. I'll find out one day.
I'm sure we all will. By the way, Shannon, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I've ever been wrong on my guesses if somebody believes in ghosts. I don't think so. James, I know, was wrong not that long ago.
Yeah, we were both wrong James and
yeah,
I.
Yeah, I was right. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
think we all got it wrong. The wrong combination.
Yeah, that's great. All right, but, and follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My health and wellness podcast called The Good Sugar Podcast comes out every Monday. Dude, honestly, it was an awesome time having you on. Great. It was great to hear you tell stories.
So
It was fun. Thank you, folks. I had a good time.
And how about this? We'll let you pick a song of the week. We add a song of the week every week to our playlist at thesdrshow.com/playlist. If you want to pick a Foghat song, you want to pick a Savoy Brown song, anything you want. What do you want to hear?
Actually, the title track off the album, 8 Days on the Road.
All right, we'll do 8 Days on the Road. We'll add it. Awesome. Thank you so much. And, dude, really, real pleasure to have you on.
Same here. I had a good time. Thank you, folks.
Thanks.
Listening to the SDR Show.